Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalamu Aleichem, Namaste, Pak Satnam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila Tanyan Wasayake. Hello, may everything be well with you as it is with me. Let me check these recording levels and turn them down just a little bit so that we don't overwhelm the system. There we go. And now I will be red-dotting everybody, as this is a learning room and not a chat room. And so I will be red-dotting everybody. All right, there we go. By way of explanation, I was not present. If you came here last Monday, was not here, did not do the teaching on Monday, was not feeling well. I suffer from two chronic illnesses, which are manageable with medical treatment, and I had a couple of procedures performed on me on Friday afternoon and Saturday morning, and one of which requires a phlebotomy, in which they drain off 2 units of blood, and that left me quite exhausted, and I was just not up to doing much of anything on Monday. I'm feeling much better now, thank you. They only have to contemplate doing these procedures about once a month at most. Every other month is the norm. So it does not interfere with my life and my work too much. But anyway, if you came last Monday expecting me to be teaching and I wasn't here, that was the reason why. So I apologize for that. But now I'm back and we'll carry on and go forward with strength, as they say, from here. Now, before I begin today's class, I'll do as I do at the start of each year by reciting the Kaddish for the dead and the mourners of the dead. So please close your eyes as you listen and remember someone to whom you are close who has passed away. In doing so, you'll honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with the light of your own consciousness. Yishkadol v'yishkadash meirabo, bomo divero kirase, v'amluk melkase, b'kayakon ubyo makon, uvkaye dekol beis Yisrael, ba'agalo uvizman koriev, ve'imru omein. Yehe shmei rabo mavorak, le'olam ule olmei omayo, yisparak v'yistabak v'yisparar v'yisramam, v'yisnase v'yishadar v'yisale v'yisalal, Shmeidu kacho beraku, le'elo minko berkaso veshoroso, tushvichoso venekamoso, da'amirom be'omo ve'imro omein. Yehe shlomo rabo min shemayo, ve'keyim uleinu ve'al kol Yisrael ve'imro omein. Ose shalom bimromov, hu yashe shalom uleinu ve'al kol Yisrael ve'imro omein. Thank you very much. Now, if you've been following the teachings, either here in person when I do the live lectures or in the rebroadcast 3 hours from now, or just by downloading them as MP3 files off of our website, then you know that I have for about the last dozen or so times been teaching on the general subject of Devakut, which is the spiritual union between man and God, a union that takes place either in an intellectual sphere, the human intellect being united with the divine intellect, or in the realm of the souls, the divine soul and the human soul. The human soul, which, as we know, is divine in any event, because it is sent down here for each one of our physical lifetimes. We have a soul that is given to us. A soul, as I've described in some of the previous teachings, is consisting, a divine soul consisting of 5 parts. And so this is what we have been talking about in general, is this contact of the mystic the righteous person who seeks out communion with or contact with God, the person who wishes to reach out and touch God and have God turn and touch him back. And this, of course, as we are taught in Kabbalah, is within the realm of human attainment. It is something that is possible. Thank you, Kaya. No sound. Let me see what's going on. It does that, but it seems to jump up. Okay, so I'll move that down. Now we're not over-amping the system. All right. Now, as you all know, if you've attended the last dozen or so classes, we've been teaching on the subject of mystical union, the subject of devakut, meaning union with God in the Hebrew mystical tradition. And it's a tradition that all mystical, or excuse me, it's a concept, this mystical union with God, that all mystical traditions share. So it's something that underlies all mystical traditions. And I've spent about the last 12 classes teaching on that in general, teaching more particularly on the five levels of divine soul. And I've taught that we can unite with God, that is, that as persons who are on the spiritual path, seeking self-perfection, seeking the ability to repair spiritually the problems that exist in the world, and to help out our neighbors and our friends and our fellow men and women in humankind, and to redeem God from the misery and suffering he experiences as a result of the imperfections in mankind and the world, that we can seek to follow closely after God, which is the literal meaning, pursue closely after is the literal meaning of the word devakut, that we can pursue closely after God, reach out and touch, so to speak, make contact with God, and that God can turn and will turn and touch us back. And this is the experience of mystical union, that moment of communion that takes place individually between a man or woman and God in an altered state of consciousness. Okay, so I've been teaching about that, and today I'm going to teach more about that, but I'm going to teach a little bit about how all of this comes out of the manner in which God descended into his creation. In other words, the manner in which God manifests himself through his creation, and the manner in which he made mankind, made man. And I have spoken before, just as a very brief summarizing thought, of the idea that God made man in his image. We're told this in Genesis 1:26 and 1:27, and that man is a composite being, that mankind consists of a physical body with a divine soul. And so man is a composite of mundane, material, physical things and supernal, ethereal, spiritual matter. And that man has a physical body and a soul that is enclosed in a spiritual body, sometimes referred to in Eastern traditions and certainly in New Age writings as the astral body. Yes, you might find this a surprise to know that that the concept of the astral or ethereal body is something that Judaism has been teaching for over 4,000 years. So it's not something that it borrowed from Eastern traditions. It's something that it came up with on its own, as I'm sure that the Eastern traditions did themselves, just as these traditions, these mystical traditions, came upon these what I will call underlying universal truths, because they transcend any particular religious container. So any spiritual truth that is shared across individual religions, we can assume to be very probably, highly likely, to be a universal truth. Because, why? Because all of the different religious traditions share in the belief. One of those is the concept of mystical union, unio mystica in the Latin terminology or the Christian terminology, devakut in the Hebrew, and samadhi in the Hindu, Buddha consciousness or nirvana in the Buddhist tradition. So this is a universal truth that is given to mankind regardless of his or her religious tradition. All right, now, to carry on from where we were teaching before, let's see where I find my place here in my notes. Okay, let's see here. Yes, I'm going to talk about Genesis 1, 26 and 27. So I'm going to read that first, and then I'm going to talk about this idea of how God has made us in his image and what that means from a Kabbalistic, mystical point of view, not just from the surface level narrative that, yeah, we look like God. Because, in fact, God does not have a physical body. But if God were to have a physical body, it would look like us. Let's put it that way. All right, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Okay? And then he says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Okay, that's the entire verse. The operative part that I want to teach on is the first part. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, the word image is, in Hebrew, is tzelem, and it literally means image, tzelem. Transliterated into the English is T-S or T-Z-E-L-E-M as in mother. Okay, and he has two phrases here in this verse, Genesis 1:26. He says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, comma, after our likeness." Likeness, the Hebrew word is demut. D is in David, E, M is in mother, U, T is in Torah, demut. So he says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Two very similar but not identical concepts, image and likeness. Okay, so in the form of image, we're talking about an actual visual imprint, a visual impress. Okay, so that if you were to look at a human being, any human being, you would see the image of God. Now, I'm talking about certainly physically. Okay? But do not mistake this. This is not to say that God has a physical body, because God does not and never has had a physical body, other than in the sense that God resides in the hearts of men and women who follow the path of righteousness, and therefore he resides in a physical body, and in that sense has dominion over our own physical bodies. When we harness our will to the will of God, then it can be said that God has the image, has a body, has a physical body. But in truth, it's really our body, and we are free to do with it as we will. And so it's only when we make our will the will of God that God can be said to be in control of our body through the intermediary of the mature ego consciousness that has harnessed itself to do the will of God here on earth, which is our avodah, or divine mission. Okay, so that's what Zelem means, is a is an actual physical, an actual physical visual image. We can either see it, if it's a physical body, by the light waves that are reflected off of it and come to our own eyeballs and strike the retinas of our eyes, or if it's, if we're talking about the spiritual body, the ethereal body, the astral body, okay, then we can see it in our mind's eye, because it too will have an image and likeness, or excuse me, a visual, it'll have a visual image, okay? Now, that's different from likeness, demut. So Zelem is not demut, and demut is not Zelem. Demut, likeness, means that we share certain characteristics and attributes of God. So God gave us aspects of his own, or attributes of his own divine personality. So if we want to know what God looks like, what he would look like if he had a physical body, look at any one of ourselves, or look at us in a mirror and see our reflection. If we want to know what God's personality is like, look into our own hearts. Look at our own actions. That's right, all of them, even our evil, selfish, mean-spirited actions across all of humanity, all the way from the most righteous saints, all the way to the most evil, dark-hearted villains, mass murderers even. All of this is a part of the likeness of God, because nothing can exist that did not come from God. So even evil and darkness comes from God. And indeed, that's one of the reasons why God created it in the first place, is to enable him to purify his own divine mind, his own divine being, of those aspects of his being that he does not like, that he wishes to be rid of, to be freed of. And this is what is meant when I or other Kabbalists speak of the redemption of God. Okay, so we have it said here in Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And in 1:27 he says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female he created them." Now, why does the scripture seem to repeat itself? Those two verses there, saying three times in the span of two verses that God made man in his image. Well, as we've taught previously, there are no coincidences or accidents in God's holy book of instruction, the Sefer HaTorah. Okay? There are no coincidences or accidents. These are not editing errors either. These are not here for poetic effect. Now, those people who don't even think about such things, who are not prepared to receive the secrets of the Torah, just read right over them. They don't even recognize that these things are mysteries. They don't even probably perceive that a mystery could lie in these two verses or in any other verses in the Bible, because we've all seen and heard these people who tell us that the Bible is nothing but a narrative of the history of the Jewish people, that it's God's instructions, that it's nothing more than a history of the Jewish people and God's commandments, the Decalogue, the ten laws, and the 613 mitzvot, the laws and regulations that command the Jews how to live. Okay. And there are many people out there, by far the great majority, who think that that's all the Bible is that it's a compendium of ethics and laws and history, and that in the larger context of the Bible, in the prophets, and elsewhere in the writings that there's good literature, that there's good poetry. Yes, Torah is that, but it's so much more than that. It is the book of instruction. Sefer HaTorah means literally the book of instruction. And God instructs through his word in the Torah on four different levels, which I've gone into before. And we are commanded to go beyond the letter of the law, meaning the memorization of the 613 mitzvot and the Ten Commandments, and our observance of them. We are commanded to go beyond the status of Jacob and become a prince among men and women, or a princess among men and women. We are to become Israel. And what did Jacob do to become Israel? He had to wrestle with God. We are commanded to become God wrestlers. We are commanded to wrestle with all of this instruction in the Torah, to search through it, to find these things, like I'm pointing out in today's teaching, about the fact that these two verses seem to repeat the concept of making man in the image of God three times, and find out what that means, to interpret that. There's a mystical secret hidden in this part of the Torah, as there are secrets hidden in all parts of the Torah. So, those to whom God has called to become his Evedim Hashem, meaning servants of God, are compelled to seek out these hidden meanings. And here in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, we find the Torah is stating unequivocally three times over that God has made man in his image, or in the image of God, which is Zelem HaElohim, in the image of God. Okay? Mystically speaking, we can conclude that God made not one man in his divine image, or Tzelem, but three. That's right. We'll see how many people now write me off as a crackpot and just get on out of here. But no, that's what it means. It states three times that God made man in his image. It's not necessary to do that. If God made man only once, it could have said that God made man in his image one time. But no, it says it three times. So we can conclude from that it is a great probability that God made man not once in his divine image, but three times. Three versions of man in the divine image of God. So if this is correct, what might these be? Okay, I'll try to unravel this a little bit. The first man, made in God's image, is that mentioned in Genesis 1:26. So it's in the first statement, and God said, "Let us make man in our image." Okay, this is a reference, and what I'm going to say to you is that each time God said that, God made a separate, unique man in his own image. Okay, so this first utterance occurs, this is a reference to God's making or creation of Adam Kadmon. That's Hebrew for primordial man. The image of God from whose eyes, ears, nostrils, and mouth, the seven orifices of the human skull, okay, proceeded the worlds that God made and destroyed and then remade into their current form of the ten holy sephirot in the Etz Chaim, in the tree of life. Okay. So now remember, I talked in our previous meetings about the five worlds. Okay? The five worlds of the tree of life. We have the lower world, the world of Asiya. The world above that is the world of Yetzirah, the world of formation. And above that is the world of Berea, the world of creation. And above that is the world of Atzilut, the world of emanation, or the world of nearness. And And these four worlds comprise the ten holy sephirot that we call the Tree of Life. That's Chaim. And above that, not in that image of the Tree of Life, not in that image, is an intermediary creation that stands between Ein Sof, which is the transcendent eternal principle, which is the transcendent God that is totally ineffable and we can never know, and the four worlds below is the intermediary stage, the first stage of creation after God withdrew into and away from himself, creating a cosmic womb, a space in which to create. The very first thing created is Adam Chadmon, an image of God, which is also an image that he later made physical man in. But at this point, this is the first image of God that was made. And out of the seven orifices of the skull of primordial man came these lights. Some lights came out of the eyes and formed certain components. Some came out of the ears and the nostrils and the mouth. But the containers that they made these spheres out of light. They were not balanced. They were neither balanced nor were they strong enough to contain the light that came flooding to fill those containers. And because of the lack of strength of the skin, so to speak, of the sphere to contain this light, and the lack of balance, they did not stand. They shattered, in what Isaac Luria, the greatest Kabbalist so far of all time, 16th century Kabbalist who lived in Safed, well, for a few years in Safed, what is now Israel, northern Israel, what he described as the Shevarit HaKalim, the shattering of the vessels. These vessels shattered. And it's spoken of in Genesis as the destruction of the death of the kings of Edom. Okay, so it's referred to in the Old Testament in an exoteric manner. And in the esoteric manner, it's the shattering of the vessels. Okay, so these shattered, and then God repaired all of them and created what's now known as the world of the Sephirot, the Tree of Life, the Etz Chaim, and he reestablished the ten Sephirot connected by the 22 paths of the holy letters of the Hebrew Aleph Bet. Okay, and those are divided into four worlds. And that's what we have now. Okay, so Adam Chadmon pre-existed the world, the four worlds of the ten Sephirot, and was from Adam Chadmon that those worlds proceeded in an act of divine repair, spiritual repair that was done by God. Now, as you'll see in a few minutes, that repair, that spiritual repair, tikkun, is not yet complete, and that was the reason that God created, one of the main reasons that God created man, is to complete that repair. All right. Now, this Adam Chadmon, this primordial man, this first creation of man in the image of God, that is mentioned in Genesis 1:26, as opposed to Genesis 1:27, where there are two more mentions, two more creations, okay, is referred to also in Ezekiel 1:26. Now, why do I say there's a link? Now, remember, in Ezekiel 1, chapter 1 is where the great vision of Ezekiel of the chariot that came to him in a cloud of fire and smoke from the north. And it formed the basis, this chapter formed the basis of Merkaba mysticism, which lasted for almost 1,000 years. Well, it before it was totally absorbed into Kabbalah. Okay, Kabbalah now contains Merkaba mysticism. But prior to it evolving into Kabbalah, it was known as Merkabah mysticism. And it was all based on chapter 1 of Ezekiel. Okay, now remember, he saw a chariot, and on the chariot was a throne. And on the throne was the figure or likeness of a man. Okay, this is Adam Kadmon. Why do I say that? Because a number of reasons. A proof of this can be found if you read verse 126, Ezekiel 126. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like lapis lazuli. And upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness like the appearance of a man upon it. Okay, likeness like the appearance of a man upon it, the mut. Now, first of all, notice the verse number. The chapter and verse of Ezekiel is 126. Chapter 1, verse 26. Well, that's the same number, the same chapter and verse, as in Genesis, when it talks about, where it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, demut." Now, God has added, in it's the same word, demut, likeness, in both of these chapter and the same verse. In Genesis 1:26 and Ezekiel 1:26, it talks about the likeness of a man. Okay? The image and likeness in Genesis 1:26 and the likeness, like the appearance of a man in Ezekiel 1:26. And of course what that means is that Ezekiel saw a figure that looked like a man sitting on a throne that was being carried upon this rumbling chariot with lightning flashing up and down it. Okay, so what this is, I say, is the Zelem Elohim, the image of God on the throne. This is the image of God, and it's the first image that God made, because God is first and foremost king. He is a king of all his creation. And this is, so what this is Adam Kadmon, primordial man, the prototypical image from which he's going to make man in the lower worlds later. Okay, so that's the first reference to making man in God's image, the one that occurs in Genesis 1:26 and is referred to in Ezekiel 1:26 when Ezekiel sees that primordial image, Adam Kadmon. Okay, the second man made in God's image comes from the first mention in Genesis 1:27, where it says, "So God created man in his own image." Okay, this is the physical body. This is a reference to the lower body of coarse substance, the clay from which man is made. Okay, the third image in which the third of God's images in which man is made is the third occurrence, which is the second occurrence in Genesis 1, verse 27. So it says, "So God created man in his own image," and now here's the one, "in the image of God created he him." So this second reference in verse 27, the third reference overall in verses 26 and 27, is a reference to the astral body, the ethereal body, which acts as the garment of the divine soul, the insulating skin, so to speak, which allows the divine soul to inhabit the physical body. Let me check the time here, see where we are. Well, we're getting toward the end of what I can teach on today here. I will just give you a little preview. I'm going to stop here, but give you a little preview of what we're going to talk about on the upcoming Monday. So I hope that you'll come back and attend this. I'm going to explore these. What I've just told you is that there's no accident then that fact that the Bible mentions in two verses, three times, the creation of man in the image of God. And I have said that what that is a reference to the fact that God has made three different images of himself in different forms as man. The first being the primordial man, Adam Kadmon, from which he made the universe, from which all other things were made, and the second occurrence of the phrase referring to man being made a physical man, and that's the one that's in verse 127, and the third man is the astral body, which we find in Genesis chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, I think it's verse 7, in which God blows his breath into the nostrils of that physical body that he made in Genesis 1:27. He blows his breath into that physical body. And this becomes the astral body that is the garment of the divine soul. And that's what makes man chaya, a living being. Okay. Now, on Monday, we're going to talk about why is it that God, why is there this importance that God has placed on the number three? In these two verses, he makes man three times over in his image. He makes three versions of man. Why three? Why not two? Why not four? So we're going to talk about the importance of the number three and how that relates to man being a composite being, and how it relates to what the fundamental nature of all creation is, how there's three principles to creation, and how it relates to our avodah, what our divine mission is. And then we'll move beyond that and actually posit that there are four creations, or four versions of man in the image of God. And we'll talk about that. All right, then. Exciting things, at least for me. I hope they're exciting to you as well. And that's going to wrap it up for today. I don't like to run on too long because it's so hard on everybody. And after all, I could probably go on for hours. So we'll stop here. This has been recorded, is being recorded as a, and will be saved as an MP3 file and saved onto our website at www.beitshemtov.org. And so you're welcome to go there and download it, or any of them. They're all on file there. And it'll be rebroadcast tonight in the same room at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. Hope to see you this Friday at which, God willing, I'll be celebrating Shabbat, Erev Shabbat, and I'm asking you and inviting you to bring you and your friends and family, anyone you want who would be interested in this sort of thing, to share my Shabbos table. And there will be some small amount of teaching, mostly prayers and music and celebration, hopefully with great joy. And then I will celebrate the Kiddush and the breaking of the bread. So that will be at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific, in a room here on Pal Talk in the same category. And then, of course, we'll be teaching again on Monday, God willing. In the meantime, I ask for God's blessing to be upon you and in your comings and goings and in all that you do. May he make his face to shine upon you and go from strength to strength. Be well. Zygezunt.